It's the Football Sake Podcast. Christian's dancing for some reason. I'm your host, Jack Quigley. With me is Christian, who is dancing.
What's going on?
You're dancing, that's what's going on. Joining us for our Thursday preview show is Jeremy Carrigan.
Boys.
How are you?
Good.
Good to see you back again, man. I'm well. Let's get on with this little podcasting we do.
Sounds good.
It's going to be really hard to top for the rest of the episode you dancing. If I wish this was not so much a podcast as a television show, because it was a real 70s hippie kind of sway dancing to the music.
No, it was really, just came from the heart, Jack. Just came from the heart.
Obviously. Yeah. Came from Melbourne. Alright, so we're underway for the jokes then for today's episode. We've set the bar pretty high, which is always good to do.
There's only one way to go now.
That's right. Yeah, well, I'm glad that we hit the highs for a brief period of time anyway.
Yeah, no,
cool. How are we, gents?
Good.
Looking good.
Can't complain
at all. How'd you finish up at the races yesterday, Jess?
Scattered, to say the least.
Money-wise.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, you gave me one tip. And,
I gave you two tips.
You gave me two tips. The first, here's the story about Jez's tips. I saw him and I said, I was on my way to the bookies. I said, any tips? He said, well, I've just jumped on the nine. So I thought, okay, I'll whack some money on the nine. 5-1, got up.
Nice.
Good start, Jez.
I like it.
5-1, thanks for coming. Managed to find him again just before the next race and said, what are you going this time? He said, I'm going the favourite. I'm going the 10. It's only paying 350, but you know, should be free money. Mm-hmm. So I said, sure, put some money on it. With about 100 metres to go, it's in front.
Yes.
And then it's pulled up totally lame and run a dead last. It's been lucky to make the finish line. I think it's still trotting now.
Yeah, still trying to get there.
Yeah, still making its way back to the stables. And I didn't bet again for the rest of the day.
Yeah, if you do the maths, though, you still finished up.
It was definitely
up.
Yeah, it was definitely up. So thanks for that, mate.
No worries.
Yeah, so this is Jez's horsing podcast.
You're listening to the Johnny Tapp and Jez racing podcast. Let's talk A-League.
You know what? Why not?
Yeah, since we're here,
might as well.
This is the Football Sack podcast, and we often talk about A-League, we should keep that going.
Yeah. No use, getting rid of a habit, so...
Yeah.
I don't know where that was going.
It was going absolutely nowhere. Let's talk the Wednesday night game. You were at it?
I was.
Gold Coast United finally scored. It took them 89 minutes.
Well, it was actually, they now hold the record for the longest home streak without scoring.
They broke that like 4 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and they had to score
like
in the third minute.
Another 85 to try and put it right.
Yes.
It reminded me of a joke. From it's gone around and the clubs and the teams always change, but I'll use for argument's sake for this weekend's fixtures, my most loved team West Ham and my most hated team Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay.
Where the Hammers walk into the dressing room and Mark Noble, one of the Hammers midfielders, he's looking a bit down and they say, what's wrong, Nobes? And he says, I'm just struggling to get up for today's game. You know, it's Spurs, you know, they're pretty shit. I don't really fancy it. And they said, I'll tell you what, why don't we all go to the pub? You try and play them on your own. That's a bit of a challenge. And he says, yeah, okay, I'm up for that. Sounds reasonable. So they'll go to the pub. About an hour later, they think, we should check up on how he's going. So they text in the live score update and it comes back, live score, half time, West Ham United 1, Spurs 0, goal scorer, Noble, 12th minute. And they're saying, this is unbelievable, Nobes is leading Tottenham all by himself, he's managed to score as well, this is brilliant. They carry on having a few more drinks. A couple of hours later, they think, oh shit, the game, we should check it up. So they text in the score, and it comes back, final score from Upton Park, West Ham United 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1, goal scorer is Noble, 12th minute, Defoe, 89th minute. And they go, oh, unbelievable. Well, we should go back to the ground and, you know, see him. And they walk in and they say, he's walking, he's crying in the dressing room. And they walk in and they say, well done, Nobes. Unbelievable. You've played against a Premier League team all by yourself and got a point. And he said, nah, boys, I'm sorry. I let you down. I let you all down. And they say, what are you talking about? It took him until, like, the last minute of the game to score. Just you. And he said, nah, I'll let you down. I'll let you down. And they said, what? How have you let us down? And he said, I got sent off in the 13th minute. Yeah. And that the Gold Coast the other night really reminded me of that. And not a bad goal to break the drought, though.
It was a great goal, but a pretty dreadful game, to be honest.
Like, yeah?
It was pretty pretty a nothing game, really. Like, yeah. There was a few chances, like Barisic. You texted me during the game and said, I know him from somewhere.
Barisic.
And he said, I know him from somewhere, but I couldn't put my finger on it until he made a miss. And it reminded me of when he played against the local Byron Bay side and missed about 70 chances. Yeah. And it all came flooding back to you.
Yeah, we were standing there watching that game, and there was a couple of sort of Byron locals who had spent the day at the beach and, you know, inhaling some...
some sort of oddly coloured smoke, yes.
And, you know, they just happened to be watching the game by virtue of the fact that I think they were probably there that morning. And
they just couldn't be bothered walking anywhere.
In the local park, and they'd come and set up a football ground, and teams had arrived whilst they were still sitting there. Even they were having a go at this bloke, saying, that guy, that number 19, he is awful. Like, he's just, don't kick it to him. He's got no idea what he's doing. And I thought, if those blokes have identified him as an absolute donkey... he hasn't got a lot going for him.
Well, he did prove himself to be an absolute donkey.
He did. He missed an absolute sitter. Yeah,
he missed two, really.
I didn't see his second one, was it?
No, pretty much exactly the same.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Literally pretty much exactly the same.
Okay.
Although I'm going to have to go against Granny. I said, I thought Ruben Zajkovic actually had a pretty good game.
One shot he had was really good. Shifted the ball, made the keeper make a really good save. I still maintain he's the worst player of all time. But, you know, he's due. Give a monkey a typewriter and eventually he'll punch in a word.
Yeah, okay.
So give a guy enough games of football, he'll get a shot on target eventually. Well done, Ruben. Big round of applause for Ruben. Professional footballer for X amount of years now. Got a shot on target. Well played.
So I was at the ground. Tell you who was really quiet. Bridges.
I thought you were going to say the three stands with nobody sitting in them.
Pretty much four stands.
I actually had to get my phone out, look at the match day program to see if Bridges was playing. Like, he just didn't notice him at all. He did nothing,
really?
Which is a bit surprising, yeah.
Was that easier than just looking for the number 8?
Yeah, no, because they were running towards me, so I couldn't see the numbers.
Oh, that's fair enough. Well, why not just look for Michael Bridges then?
Now, look, Jack, I'm a football supporter. I'm the brightest spark in the lunchbox.
Okay.
Right?
Brightest spark in my lunchbox. I like the way he deliberately got that wrong. Yeah, I hope.
I'll tell you what, though. You know, they're actually, like, it was 2,000 crowd. You know, not the worst by 91, but on the TV screens, it looks crap because it looks like fully empty stands.
Yeah.
What I think, like, they actually, normally they just open up one box, but they opened up the beach and they opened up the whole side.
Yeah.
So everyone was spread around wherever they wanted to sit. So it wasn't like they were confined. But I say, why do it on that side? Put the crowd on the other side, and to the TV, it actually looks like they've got a semi-decent crowd.
They do that when the New Zealand Knights used to play down in wherever that stadium was.
In Auckland,
where one side of the ground looks kind of like Stadium Australia. It's got this great curved roof, and it looks awesome. The other side of the ground, where the cameras are, is like a grass hill, nobody sits there. So from one side, it looks like an awesome stadium, but when you see it from the other side, it looks like the local park.
But, I mean, surely it wouldn't be too hard to organise. You know, just for looks-wise, you know.
Yeah,
you
aesthetically,
yeah. You see 2,000 people sitting on one side. It's better than saying nothing. You get a little bit of a response from people that way. You know, surely it wouldn't be too hard to organise. Say, you know, go through gate E rather than gate D.
Yeah.
Sit on this side and actually give us a little bit of credibility.
If people see it on TV and actually see people on the other side, they might be tempted to actually go and join in the atmosphere.
That's it.
You were telling us you got given a ticket when you turned up to the ground.
This
is after we said the other day, why don't they just open the gates for a game?
Yeah, it was strange. I walked up there. Yeah. Just with that one.
Yeah.
And it was 2 minutes to go until kickoff, and we just went up there looking at the prices, and some guy just comes up and we go, oh, you're looking for tickets? Like, not like, yo. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, here, you know, how many? I'm like, oh, just the two of us. He got this roll of, no doubt, no joke, 20 tickets out of his pocket and just pulled up two and said, here you go. I'm like, oh, cheers. You want a beer? He's like, no, I'm sweet. I'm like, cool. Just went straight in.
Lovely.
But the funny thing is, that happened to me at Brisbane Roar last year. It happened to me 4 times in a row. Just like, not people, not like, not the same people, just people, you know, with spare tickets just came along and said, do you want some tickets? And I'm like, do I have to sign on my face saying, give me tickets? Because if I do, I want
so
it's cool.
A message to everyone who's attending an A-League game this weekend: don't get there and go through the turnstiles. Just act shady and walk around the perimeter of the ground for as long as possible, and eventually someone will. It's like kids in a toy store who stand around the toys looking sad in the hope that somebody will buy one for them. You were standing around looking like, I really want to see this game, but obviously the way you were dressed, I guess you were too poor to afford them. What was it cost? $20?
Yeah, $20.
Yeah.
So, but now I have my own corporate box, so I'm happy. Yeah.
You have your own corporate box?
At Suncorp.
At Suncorp, yeah. I've got my own corporate box at Gold Coast United. I've got like a whole section to myself.
What I really want to do, because
you can come in it. Yeah, nice thing. You can come in too, Jess.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I was I was sitting, you know, at the stadium, and I'm just like, I really just wish they'd just give a ticket to one person. Just one person on the other side. Yeah. Just one guy sitting by himself. Just like, give a flag. I would volunteer to be that person. Yeah. On that note, if anyone's going to be on the Gold Coast on the 1st of October, a fair few of us sitting. Oh, well, me.
All
Jack,
three of us sitting here.
All three of us sitting here. The three podcast people here, and Matt G, the elephant, is going to be at the Gold Coast to watch Gold Coast with Phoenix. So if you're the Gold Coast, or you're going to be in the area.
He'll also be on the podcast before.
He will also be
on
the podcast on Thursday. So come and join us. Yes. Come put a face to the voice.
Yes.
Or
if you haven't already seen our pictures.
Yeah,
on
the site. Yeah. Or like I said, our new ad on the Footy Fans Down Under.
Yes.
But yeah, or put a face to the non-existent voice in Matt G, which you haven't actually
and
heard.
And Jez.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Probably don't need to do that.
Yeah. We might just, like, get a model and try and pass him off as Jez.
Just have a name tag, Jeremy Carrigan.
Yeah. Okay. Jets news. They've got a new owner.
They do. Stephen Tinkler.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, everyone's saying it's good news for the Jets. I'll tell you what, bloody, I reckon the FFA will be the happiest people about this news. Yeah, they've been wanting to go into Con for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
They really don't get along very well.
I was talking to a bloke yesterday who was a Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that this Tinkler has said all the right things. He said that he's doing it for the people of the Hunter region. He thinks they deserve a top flight team, and he's doing it for the development of local football. So bodes well.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's see him back it up with words and with actions, should say, and it should be good. Like, you know, I've got no doubt. You know, the Jets, you know, were never in doubt of losing their team.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, it was an ownership issue.
He also told me this, mate, that he knows someone who thinks the Gold Coast are all dead and buried and will be playing somewhere else next season, most likely Canberra.
Yeah, okay, well, that's interesting. Mm. Like, we're comparing them to the Knights last episode, I think. But the difference between the Knights and the Gold Coast is, of course, Gold Coast still have some financial backing, but Knights just had nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, I probably wouldn't have any qualms from going to a place like Canberra.
I really don't want to see him go though.
I think it's
just an issue with the community. Just, I don't think they like the way the clubs run.
Yeah,
they don't feel like it's their team so much. Mm-hmm. They need to get out in the community and do some Central Coast Mariners stuff, like school visits, etc. Maybe lose. Don't brag about the bling kind of tag.
Yes. Well, it's funny you say that. Okay. Since the A-League started, we've had two bling or glamour teams. First one being Sydney FC, when Gold Coast came over, they took over the tag. Both, when they were glamour clubs...
It worked for Sydney FC when they were a glamour club.
Not really. They worked for the first season, they had Dwight York. Then after that, they just failed miserably every year.
Yeah.
But as soon as they lost the glamour tag to Gold Coast, they won the comp. It's like the glamour... I really don't think you can go out and seek the glamour tag. If it's going to happen, it'll come to you naturally. Like, it came to Manchester United, not because they wanted it, but because of years of sustained success.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to become a glamour club of the A-League, start by just being a good club.
Yeah.
Don't call yourself a glamour club. It's like when you go...
It's like Chelsea, I guess. Their new money and their arrogance has kind of... It will win you some fair weather fans, but it makes you hated by everybody else.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's like, compare it like a kid walking around school. Okay, if you're a school kid and some guy comes along and goes, you know what? I'm really cool. You go, no, you're not. You're an idiot. But, you know, like, you know, some kid who you've known for years who's just been your friend, he's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
It's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Jez, he's cool.
He is cool.
Yeah.
I think most people get that across from here anyway, though.
They probably just picked
really
it up from. They're probably picking it up from your voice, It's the dulcet tones of Jeremy Carrigan. okay, let's move on to the fixtures for this week.
Okay. After the schmozzle of the whole Jets and Gold Coast thing.
Yes. Our first match tonight is across the ditch. Wellington Phoenix take on North Queensland Fury minus Mr. Savoia.
Savoia, who New Zealand said, you want to come to New Zealand?
Yeah.
Get alive.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that New Zealand won't let some shady characters in. They've got plenty, but we've got enough of you.
We've got enough of you, that's it. Yeah. Cut the hair and you won't have a chance.
Yeah, we said before that it was like when Snoop Dogg wasn't allowed to come and do his tour in Australia. They must have really eyed him off as a bad egg. Who was the bloke from the Black Eyed Peas trying to come out for Big Day Out with just like a bag full of drugs? Didn't even try and hide it. Just came out and was like, yeah, I've got drugs, what of it? And then was stunned to find out that he wouldn't be allowed in. Sylvester Stallone, he went to the UK, he went to an Everton game, but in trying to get into the country, they were like, what are these? And he's like, my bag of steroids. And they're like, you can't have these. yeah, so well done, Sly. Thoughts on this game tonight? I think it's probably got home win written all over it.
Yeah, probably. Fury had a good start. They've kind of went down a little bit.
Yeah,
they've had a few weeks on the road. Yeah, a few weeks on the road, and by against one of the strongest hot home teams there is, it's going to be difficult to see them come out with anything, really.
Yeah.
You know, they could obviously spring a surprise like they did in Melbourne, but yeah. It's hard to say.
What odds are on it raining tonight?
Oh,
it's got to be like a dead cert, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't think they've had a dry game in like 40 fixtures over there. Poor Phoenix fans.
It doesn't stop them getting their shirts off, though.
Yeah, that's right, and that's great to see.
It is.
Sometimes. It's kind of like the Newcastle United fans in England. You know, you just don't want to see fat Geordies with their shirts off. It's just not nice.
It was good, though. The match where it really was pissing down rating.
Gold Coast United. Yeah, it was 3-2, wasn't it?
Yeah, 3-2. That was great. And
corker of a game. Or was it 3-3? I think it was 3-3.
3-3, yeah. But the section they focused on with their shirts off was the best section of them all. It was brilliant.
Oh, was it? Good. It was very nice. Predictions?
I am going to go 3-1 for me.
Okay.
2-0.
2-0. I'm going to say they're going to bounce back in style with a 3-0 win.
Okay, cool.
The Phoenix, that is. We're all talking about the Phoenix.
We're all talking about Phoenix. Yeah. We had a three-way Phoenix.
Okay. Our second match tonight, we've got a doubleheader to kick us off. Mm-hmm. It's Adelaide United and the Perth Glory, which really bodes well for a good game of football.
Yeah, I think...
Because Mr. Flores is on fire.
He is on fire, yes. And Lecky has been excused from international duty for a couple of days, so he can come back and actually play.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay, cool.
Over the Young Soccer
Roos. So
he's going to be playing, and should be a good game on the table. By form, though, Glory had a bit iffy,
but they're due to bounce back by that logic as well.
Possibly. I just don't see how they're going to battle Adelaide style.
You're going for a tight home win, you see? Or do you see it comfortable?
I'm seeing 2-0.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Your thoughts and prediction, Jess?
Oh, just probably a bit quick for Perth, I'd say. Adelaide, maybe 2-1. 2-1.
Yeah, I might go 2-1 as well, actually. Yeah, 2-0 to Adelaide.
So Adelaide and Glory, is it?
No, Adelaide.
Three Adelaides.
We're all going Adelaide.
Sweet.
A third match, the one that you can't get up to this week, unfortunately.
Devastated.
Brisbane Roar, Melbourne Heart. Should, again, be another good match.
It really should be. Roar, trying to play like Barcelona. They're trying to.
Yeah.
The style.
You need Barcelona's footballers to do that, unfortunately.
This is
true. When the Hammers kept trying to play 4-3-3, it's like, we're not Chelsea.
There's a lot of frustrations up in the Brisbane supporters. Like, you can tell when you're in the crowd, they're just not used to possession football.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, put it long, you know, switch, you know, shoot. You know, yeah. And they're also very frustrated that there's no goals being scored. But you go, look, you know, Barcelona didn't build themselves in a day. You know, this is what, you know, their fifth or sixth match, you know. It's going to be a long-term project. You have to give them time. But, you know, I think they're actually playing all right. And Hart, they're actually on a roll too. They're trying to play well, but they actually do use the long ball occasionally.
Yeah.
So they do mix it up a bit. You know, it's as a neutral, I would probably put some money on a draw, but as a Raw fan, I'm probably going to go with a 1-0.
Home win.
Yes.
Jezzar.
Nil all draw for me.
Yeah, I got a feeling this has got nil all written all over it as well.
Yeah.
Not to say it won't be good to watch.
Yes.
I just think in terms of finishing, both teams lack a lot.
I think this might be like kind of like, I remember in the World Cup when Spain played Switzerland. And Switzerland won 1-0.
Yeah.
But it was just a joy just to watch Spain play, even though they weren't scoring.
Yeah, they didn't score, but great. You know, Alonso crashing it off the bar 47 times in the second half.
Yeah. I think this could be sort of like that. An enjoyable game, which won't see, but won't have many highlights.
Yes, that's good. Second match on Saturday night is under new ownership. They should put out the sign out the front of the ground. Yeah. Under new management. Yeah. Well, not under new management, just under new ownership. The Jets.
Branko will rock up to training and go, oh, this is disgusting, and just drive home.
What accent was that?
I don't know. That was...
This is disgusting. Yeah, Branko the German.
Yeah. Hey, is he dyeing his hair? I swear he used to be a bit of
a silver
man. I think
he might be. Yeah, I really think he might be. Let's thoughts and predictions, boys.
I think this is going to be the tightest game of them all.
Could well be, actually. Prediction?
I think this will be my draw. I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1 for me too.
1-1. I'm going to go... I'm going to go for 1-0 to the Jets.
Yeah, okay.
I think they can knock off the Victory here. Mm-hmm. If the Victory get caught napping.
Yeah, okay.
It always gives people a lift, any new news around your club.
Yes,
and I think a lot of the players will be sort of, they'll be up for it.
Okay.
Michael Bridges will be man of the match
mm-hmm.
and score.
Okay.
That's what I'm tipping.
Cool. All right.
Sunday, it's Sydney FC and Gold Coast United,
mm-hmm.
Which ties in with our competition.
It does?
Yes.
Shall we talk about the competition?
May as well.
Okay, well, if you're in Sydney, you're going to be based in Sydney on the Wednesday, because yep. they're playing the Fury, send us an email or go to our website, go to Win Stuff, and tell us what you think your prediction of this game will be. If you get it right, you're the only one to get it right, you win the tickets.
Yep.
And if you've got it right, it just goes in a draw. And too easy. You make a prediction, that's yep. all you have to do, and you can win two really, really good seats for the match.
You can enter that competition by emailing us at info@thefootballsack.com,
yes.
Twitter us mm-hmm. At @thefootballsack, right. Join the Facebook group and write on the wall.
Yeah, we'll check that.
Yep.
Or use the Win Stuff form. Or go to the website
and click the Win Stuff
www.thefootballsack.com.
That's how to find us. We didn't really talk about that game, so we will.
Sydney fans are confident.
Yeah.
They think their season's starting this week, which it really is. They have to start winning, otherwise they're gone.
Well, it's not. It started about 6 weeks
ago. Gold Coast, is that 2 wins in a row?
They haven't scored for bugger out of time.
They're playing all right. I think they're undefeated in 3 anyway.
Do you think that could be a bit of like a floodgate opening kind of win the other night, and they might come out and score 2 or 3?
I don't know. See,
Jeremy, who is a Gold Coast United fan, is just shaking his head no.
Okay, the Gold Coast, they pull out some results, but honestly, their style is not great. They play in the midfield really well. Jason Kleiner, watching him live, he's a pleasure. He's got to be one of the top players in the A-League.
He's the best player in the A-League. He has to be.
But they're playing mirror-on football, which is old school. It's put the ball to the wings, put a cross in, try to fluke a goal from across. They put in so many crosses last night, all of them came to nothing. It's because today's defense is just too good. They just do all those crosses all day. You need cutting in, having the shot from the angle, or putting.
It's alright to put crosses in if you've got someone like Shane Smeltz on the end, who, if you give him half a metre, he will score. Yeah. Bruce Gitte is not Shane Smeltz.
No. See, that's the thing. That style, they got away with it last year because they had someone like Shane Smeltz, who's just a freak at goal scoring from any situation.
Kalina would just find someone who was standing on the wing, give him the ball, he would cross it, Smeltz would score. Easy formula for success, really. You can picture the whiteboard in the Gold Coast United room with like a little marker for like Kalina and like an arrow to the touchline and then an arrow back to the penalty spot and then a little dotted line to the goal, and that means
that smells,
cross to Smeltz.
Yeah, and then, in the defending half, you just have a big circle with the words everyone else.
Yeah, just like, get back here.
Yeah.
Give ball to, and a little arrow to Jason Kalina's little man.
Yeah. For what I'm saying is, like, I think Hart's victory last week was a perfect example. They had the right foot on the right-hand side, left footer. The left-hand side.
Cut inside. Yeah.
And they just absolutely ripped through
you
Perth.
You can, if your players aren't good at knocking the ball around, that can often just make you too narrow. And just if a defence is well set up, you just can play for a week and not break them down, which is the downside of that cut-inside kind of method of playing. I think you've just got to weigh up who you're playing against.
Mm-hmm.
Find out if they're weak on crosses, cross it. If you look like you're going to carve them up with some neat passing, put some neat passing together, carve them up.
I just think, you look at all the top teams in the world, and none of them score a high percentage of goals from their crosses.
Yeah, and you get a feeling Stephen Keller is just going to nod those crosses away all day,
So what I'm saying is, Gold Coast is going to have to try to change their style if they want to win this game, or if they want to win the comp. Miron, though, I don't see him that versatile. He has his way. It generally stays that way. They've got the talent, obviously, to do that, to actually play a different style.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening. Although, having Traore in the midfield last week was actually a good mix.
He's great.
He was, and he played really well. But then they put him back in the backs against the Jets, and he's a great attacking player. Defensively, he's not that solid. All Newcastle's kind of breaks came through him.
Yeah.
And he just didn't have the impact he did coming from behind. So.
I really do. That's what she said. So I couldn't help myself there. I really see him picking up the ball in like a defensive midfield role and breaking forward.
Yes.
That's
yes,
where I see him. Prediction for that game.
Okay. It's funny. I can't see Gold Coast winning, but Sydney haven't been playing well either. So it's a really hard one. Though home team advantage and the fact that they really need to win, I'm going to put Sydney up with a 2-1.
As a fan, I've got to say Gold Coast 1-0. A few concerns coming into this one.
A few. The best part is that you know, they'll play in front of a decent crowd this week. Yeah. Might G the boys up. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. Okay. I think Gold Coast will get something down there. That will wrap up our A-League section of the show. Let's jump over to the UK and talk about the English Premier League, which is in full swing. Before we get into, we'll wrap up the Carling Cup matches from the midweek in a minute and the weekend's games for tomorrow. I just want to talk quickly about Sam Allardyce and his comments during the week. He came out and said, I'm not really suited to a team like Bolton or Blackburn. I'm more suited to an Inter or a Real Madrid. Give me the job at Chelsea or Man United and I'd win the league and cup double every season. Year.
I just went, sorry, Sam, what?
Well, is this not a massive slap in the face to Blackburn? As Blackburn fans, I would have booed him because he's basically, if a player came out and was playing for Blackburn and said, I'm not really suited to Blackburn, I really should be at Chelsea or Manchester United. Why, the fans would turn on him like that.
Yes, yes.
Which is interesting. But it just made me laugh so much because Sam Allardyce should go to prison for crimes against football. If you've ever had to watch Bolton or Blackburn play. Did you see the Fulham-Blackburn game on the weekend? And El Hadji Diouf, just his shoulder barge on Mark Schwarzer. He's not even looking at the ball. His back's to the ball. And he just runs and just takes out Schwarzer. The referee says, that's fine.
Back to Sam Allardyce. He said he pointed that out as a weakness in Schwarzer's game.
What? Being shouldered off the ball?
That goal. He said that's what they targeted. And
yeah. We find if you tackle someone when they're not looking, you often can tackle them when they're not looking.
If you take out the keeper, it does help scoring goals.
Apparently, when Allardyce first started coaching football, they had to tell him that he couldn't pick the ball up and tackle players. Like, it wasn't rugby.
Great joke.
That is awful.
That's a shock. Yeah, he thought he was William Webb Ellis. Awful. Old Bill. We should... I just thought I'd mention that because Sam Allardyce is just such a laughing star.
Yeah, he is. He's, and then there's his footballing coaching ability as well.
Yeah, he came out and said, I'm more superior than Arsene Wenger because he probably doesn't even use Opta stats and Prozone stats and... Like, yeah, he probably doesn't. He's probably too busy coaching his players to pass the ball around.
Who looks at the team for the next week and thinks, I'm going to target the keeper? Yeah. And at Fulham, Mark Schwarzer.
Wouldn't you love to see him get the Real Madrid job and just be like, Kaká! Kaká! Kick the goalkeeper! Kick the goalkeeper! Casillas gets the ball and he's like, goes to throw it out to launch a quick counter. Don't throw it out! Kick it! Kick it long!
Yes.
Tread on the keeper's toes!
Yeah, so Kaká will have like an attacking third, and we're going to put a play in, and Allardyce will be like, waste time!
Yeah.
Kick it out!
Yeah, that's right. God, he's just...
And they'll be behind 1-0, and he'll still be wasted. It's just... Yeah. I cannot watch a game that...
You would cry if he got appointed your club's manager, it's painful enough watching... There are four games a season I can't stand to watch, and it's the Hammers, two games against Bolton, and now our two games against Blackburn.
Yes,
and Bolton play the way they do because of Allardyce, and now Blackburn play the way they do because of Allardyce. And you would just shoot yourself rather than watch 38 games of that each season.
Well, look, he had his chance at a big club at Newcastle.
Yeah.
And he got sacked in half the season.
Yeah.
Which
was hasty because it was Newcastle, but...
But it is Sam Allardyce.
It's with Sam Allardyce, they've dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
Yes, they would have stayed up, but I would rather go down than be managed by Sam Allardyce.
Okay, and Sam Allardyce, if you're listening and listening to this podcast, get out of McDonald's.
Yeah, he has got the biggest chin in the world.
Oh, ridiculous.
Kevin Davies has the biggest chest in football, and Sam Allardyce has the biggest chin in football. Let's talk Carling Cup during the week. The biggest shock was Sam Allardyce's former club knocking out maybe his future club as Newcastle United went to Stamford Bridge and won.
And won.
Yeah, 4-3. It was a corker of a game. Really terrific. Did either of you see it?
Can't say I did.
I watched it. I saw the highlights. Yeah, I watched it. It was brilliant game. And like, you know, the awfully soft penalty
wasn't that bad. That
was just never a penalty. And it was just typical, the referees caved into the Chelsea pressure. And you just think, they're going to win this in extra time. And then thankfully, Amiobi pops up with a goal, the winning goal. So it was great to see Chelsea out. Liverpool knocked down by Northampton Town. Unbelievable. League 2 Northampton Town. And there were, who was the third one to fall? Spurs are out as well.
Man City.
And Man City are out, of course, to West Bromwich Albion. And Jez, your team, Everton, knocked out by Brentford.
We just wanted to make sure we could this focus season, on the league. You know?
This season goes, yeah, you can wholeheartedly focus on your push for relegation. This season goes from bad to worse for Everton. They're notoriously slow starters, but this is really getting concerning.
This isn't a start anymore. This is the season.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts? What's going on?
Surely it has to change, surely.
Well,
they're playing so well for no goals.
So are we at the moment at West Ham. And the problem is, if you can sort of, if you get to October and you're still in the bottom three, you have to accept that now comes the time you have to start scrapping for points. Yeah. And if Everton keep trying to play really good football, which they always do, it could come, you know, November, December. Yeah. They could still be in the bottom three. That's when it gets really serious. But apparently Brentford had plenty of chances to win that normal time as well.
Yeah.
Missed the penalty. So
yeah.
I'd like to meet Mr. Penalty. He gets mentioned a lot.
Yeah, Mr. Penalty. Yeah, nice. Well done.
That was not good at all. Let's talk the weekend's... Actually, the biggest result in the Carling Cup, of course, came with West Ham winning away at Sunderland. Our first away win in 401 days since we won at Wolves on the first day of the last season. So well done to the boys. Man City-Chelsea is the first game of this weekend's Premier League action.
Should be a cracker.
And really should be a great game.
Both the fixtures last season were huge.
Yeah, they were. And brilliant. What was it? It was there was a 2-1 win.
2-1 and a 4-1. A 4-1.
Yeah,
win.
That was great. I just hope it's not like Man City-Liverpool from last season when everyone had high hopes. Geez. And it still goes down as the worst game of football I've ever watched.
Yeah, okay.
It was just... Nothing happened for 90 minutes. Steven Gerrard rolled a tame shot in at one point. That was the highlights reel of the game. Unbelievable. But we're not here to talk about that. That match should never be mentioned again.
Yeah, okay. Done. Well, by the way, I think you have the worst match you've ever seen. I think you have a new one every week. You've mentioned a few.
Have I? Yeah. I probably do.
Yeah.
I think the worst one I've ever seen is, and this is official, was West Ham United, Blackburn Rovers from 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Nil all draw, and it was just dreadful. Yeah. I wanted to cry.
Don't forget that Manchester United Chelsea FA Cup final a couple of years ago.
First one at the new Wembley, wasn't it? Yeah.
Although Drogba's goal was all right, but the rest of it was just
Martin Tyler came out afterwards. He was commentating. He said, "Yeah, it's great stadium. Shame about the game." Yeah.
Probably one of the worst games I've ever seen was involves Bolton. It was
shock horror.
Manchester City versus Bolton. Bolton had no shots on goal the whole game, but Sanji Ahai scored an own goal, so it was 1-0 to 1-0 to Bolton.
Oh, dear, oh dear. Yeah, that's awful.
It's the only time I've ever seen a team actually have, literally, like, no shots on goal, no shots off goal. Like, there was no shot. Didn't have a shot, and they still won 1-0.
Where did the own goal come from? A cross or something like that?
Oh, yeah, just crossing into his Sanji Ahai, just like, I'm just going to score because I'm hopeless.
Do you remember when the Socceroos played China and Sanji in that World Cup qualifier, and Sanji Ahai came in with that, like, kamikaze karate tackle? It was like a 2-footer challenge, but he was a good 2 or 3 feet off the ground. It was like he was trying to chop somebody in half, and somehow wasn't sent off for it.
He was like the first Chinese player to score in the Premier League, but he's going to be like the worst player.
Yeah.
It's just like, he could play in any position. Like, they called him versatile because he played in any position.
Yeah,
but
versatile also means you're a bit useless.
Yeah, you're a bit useless. Like, literally, he, like, yeah.
Jonathan Spector plays it all across the Hammers back four.
You don't have anyone, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's it.
Other fixtures this weekend, London Derby, West Ham, Tottenham. Spurs will win that, they always do. Wankers. Arsenal, West Brom, that'll be a good game to watch. There'll be some good football played and a lot of goals scored.
Fabregas out for 3 weeks.
Yeah, after that free goal, wasn't that amazing? Kicked it into his knee from 30 yards it went in. Anything else we want to talk about English Premier League-wise? Not really.
No,
Man United are away at Bolton.
Yeah. Hope they lose.
Four wins for the big four, I'd say.
Yeah.
Except for Chelsea and Man City.
Yeah, that's right.
What are your thoughts on that match?
Chelsea, you know, they've looked so good all
year.
They're just robots, those guys. One loss, you don't know what it...
Michael Essien is so good. Yeah, he's like Mr. Everywhere. He could play every position on the field. In my bets that I've put on, I've actually taken the Man City / draw option.
Okay.
So I fancy them to get something.
Hard
to see Chelsea losing it.
It is. But, you know, both times that City beat them last year, Chelsea came in like a 5 or 6 match winning streak.
They did too. And they went 1-0 up in that game that City won 4-1 at Stamford Bridge.
And then Tevez just came out of nowhere.
Bellamy turned that game as well. Yes. Scored a great goal.
And the big, was it 4-1 or 4-2? I think they would have scored a late penalty.
Oh, yeah, you're the City fan.
Yeah, it was like, that was just a domination. It came from nowhere.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We've got a new Who Am I section.
What's my CV?
Yeah, for this week. We've called it What's My CV, or Whose CV Is This?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read you out a player's CV, where he's played, and if you can correctly identify it, or be the first to correctly identify it, you get a shout out on the show.
Cool.
And if you want us to talk about you, then include some info about yourself that you'd like us to talk about. We want to know, which player is it that has played for Millwall, Aldershot, Djurgården Gardens?
Name ever.
Yeah, where are they? They're in like the Swedish league? Or
I don't know. It can land you in some trouble saying that one wrong.
Somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah. He's played for Nottingham Forest, Tottenham Hotspur, Manchester United, had a second spell at Tottenham Hotspur, West Ham United, and Colchester United. So he's been everywhere.
Yes.
760 senior appearances.
Cool.
Nearly 300 senior goals. So he's quite a career. Whose CV is that? If you know, email us at info@thefootballsack.com and Twitter us at @thefootballsack. Join the Facebook group right on the wall. That's pretty much how they can contact us.
Yell really loud
out your window. Mm-hmm. And if you live near one of us, you might.
I'll be slightly freaked out tonight if I hear the answer to that question.
Yeah, I was going to yell it out then, but I thought I might just give it away. all right. We should thank.
We would normally rely on Dave just to blurp it out in the post production, but he's pretty useless.
Yeah, he's hopeless. He'd blurp out the bloke's CV. Name his CV. Name this player. We should thank Betfair for their continued loyal support of Football Sack.
Yeah, and we're probably gonna get some new listeners to this episode because of our new affiliation. So we better talk about the deal we have with Betfair.
Yes, that's right. If you go to our website, click on the Betfair logo.
Yeah, that's an ad on the left.
Oh, is it on the left? I thought it was on the right.
It's on the left now. Matt's had a little rearrange of the side.
It's all happening.
It's all surprises. Spontaneity, that's what the Football Sack's all
about.
That's
right, yeah. check it. Which website was on the other day and said it'll never be the same twice? It was like Vidal and Kennedy, the company that made that Nike Write the Future ad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to their website and it was a really flashy one, as you imagine, because it's a pretty good ad. You click on that open up a $30 account and you get a $50 free bet to bet on anything that you want. No questions asked. If you lose it, don't worry, it doesn't affect your $30 you've put in there, but if you win, you get to keep your winnings.
Awesome.
So crazy not to. So can't do that lose. Go to the website, go through our link, otherwise you won't
cash it on. It's a special offer just for Football Sack readers, viewers, listeners. So hit up on it while it's still there.
Yes.
Because it's obviously not going to last forever.
That's right, because eventually the Earth will end. Yeah. We'll all be gone by that stage. Footy fans, Down Under is a site that we should probably talk about. We've joined up with them. They're a fantastic website, basically it's a site that it covers sort of all sorts of, basically if there's any football fans down under and there's a supporter group, it goes through Footy Fans Down Under.
Yeah, well, they're affiliated with every A-League supporters group, every West Ham United fans, Sydney, any Premier League supporter group in Australia, everything goes through them. They're affiliated with all the big football groups in Australia.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that they've decided to jump on the Football Sack bandwagon.
which is great. You can go to their website, www.footyfansdownunder.com, and you'll see our ad there on the right hand side. Click there to listen to the latest Football Sat podcast, and it's a terrific site. So they've got photo galleries, events that they stage, articles, etc., photos. Yeah,
they've got the Soccer AM, which we talk about too.
Yeah, they've got clips on there from Soccer AM, which is a great show.
You can subscribe to their newsletter as well, which I'm sure is I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to.
Going to as well, because it looks like a good site, and I'm sure it would be a good newsletter. We've reached the end of the show.
Devastated.
Yeah. It's flown by, as it tends to do when you have fun. I would like to thank both of you for coming in today. Thanks, Jez, for joining us once again.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Christian.
Christian, thank you for joining me
as
once again.
As always. Yes.
Jack, thank me for coming in. Thanks, Jack. That
big
would be
effort.
We'll be back on Tuesday. Tuesday, we'll be back for the review show. And then we'll be reviewing everything we've talked about here.
Hot.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you Tuesday.